Hey, let's call this a special episode, okay? And special episodes need the music. Hey, Randy Cantrell. The Yellow Studio, Dallas, Texas, Friday, June the 10th, 2011, happens to be my wife's birthday. And I'm here to announce that world order has been restored. There's a brief period of time where I'm older than she is. Well, I'm always older than she is, but my age is technically a year older. So there was a period of time, almost a month, where I was 54, she was 53. Yep, not today. Today she's 54 and I'm 54, so world order has been restored. Her name, by the way, is Rhonda, R-H-O-N-D-A. You can find her at rhondacantrell.com. That will also take you to, it's all the same website, dolldressesbyrhonda.com. She sews custom-made doll dresses. So if you're into that, go over there and check it out. I don't know that you are into that. Maybe you are. Just don't let me know it. I'm surrounded by enough dolls. I feel like I could go into any given room and it's like Chucky. I've not seen that movie, but I've seen enough snippets of it to know about it. I've talked about these before. They are lifelike. She's preferential to dolls made by a gal who used to work for Mattel over in Germany named Annette Hemstead. I don't know that she lives in Germany anymore, and she quit. She quit making these creatures. They are terrific. They're really spectacular, and collector's items, and not very cheap, as you can imagine. I mean, they're pretty expensive, and people want to. Well, you like to customize your car, maybe. Well, people want to customize their dolls, and put fancy stuff on them. My wife loves to sew, so these happen to be creatures that she can sew for. Let me rifle through my notebook here. I'm a man given to notebooks, as you well know. This is a special episode for a variety of reasons, none of the least of which is it is my wife's birthday, so why not? The big reason is I'm at a crossroads, and I need your help. I need your feedback, and I hope I'll get it. I have one endeavor, and I'm not going to go back and recount my story. I've put it out here in too many places already. LeaningTowardWisdom.com is the enterprise aimed at serving education. And that continues. And it's a labor of love. It's a labor that I'm fairly driven toward, and I'm full steam ahead over there. So nothing changes in that regard. If anything changes, just more attention, more focus in that direction, because I happen to think that our kids are pretty important. And I happen to think that the future, while it's trite, and it was said of our generation when we were kids, you know, y'all are the future. And we were, and some of us still are. But I think it's rather important. And the older I get, the more important I believe that it is to help kids. And I'm driven in one particular area, because I think it's so crucially important, and because I've been going through, for the last decade for sure, but it's something that I've looked at and considered pretty seriously since I was in my early 20s. And that is, what am I good at? What am I good at, and what should I be doing? I've talked about it before, and I will do some podcasts on this in the future, but that really isn't so much the point today, other than I happen to think that we do our kids a disservice if we really don't give it a yeoman's effort to try to help them figure that out. Because quite frankly, a lot of time gets lost. A lot of energy gets wasted. A lot of dollars just go down the tubes because We're so busy trying to make everybody fit into this one size fits all mold. And it just doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And I'm rather sad that here I am at 54 asking some questions that I would hope some kids in junior high and high school can certainly be vastly, vastly ahead of where I'm at. And I would hope to be just one small voice out here in this wilderness trying to help make that happen. So that's kind of the skinny of Leaning Toward Wisdom, serving public education, primarily serving educators. And my real focus is the classroom teacher. And the approach is quite simple. I happen to believe that the teacher is the leader. I happen to believe that a classroom is kind of its own organism, you know? I mean, that classroom sits on the campus of a school, and that school sits on some property that is part of a bigger school district, and that district is part of a state. But when you shell it down, you've got four walls of a classroom. You've got a teacher who's at the head of that class. You've got a teacher who, in essence, and I'm using this word because I come from a business background, but you've got a teacher who hopefully is being very entrepreneurial, and so that you don't misunderstand the use of that term, I think a lot of people don't even understand what that term means. I think a lot of people in their 20s and 30s, oh yeah, I'm an entrepreneur, because they think it sounds cool. And we used to just call it, you know, I'm a business guy. Well, it's not nearly fancy enough for so many people today. But the word entrepreneur, at its heart, simply means individual responsibility. Taking responsibility for the outcome. Now, in business, it certainly applies to taking individual responsibility, taking personal responsibility for the financial outcome. I simply use that same definition and apply it to a classroom, because here's what I believe to be true, and here's the core message over at Leaning Toward Wisdom. And it will become more clear as time moves forward. The teacher must assume personal responsibility for the learning, the helping to instill wisdom in every child in that classroom. The outcome for these children in this classroom has got, that responsibility must be borne on the shoulders of the classroom teacher. And I believe it all starts there. Now, we can talk about the future, and we can talk about, well, what will the future be, and how can we arm these kids up so they can be better prepared for the future? Anybody that gets on YouTube or on a podcast or in a blog post or stands up in front of a group of people and say, here's what the world will look like in 20 years. Come on. There's no way. There's no way you can predict that. There's no way that you can know. And I think it's rather foolish to spend our time and our effort and our energies in those kinds of things when it comes to helping our children. I think it's crazy to reverse engineer this thing to think, okay, well, let's look down the road and see what 20 years is going to look like. Let's always be looking down the road, because these kids who enter the first grade today, this year, in 12 years, they'll be getting out of college. And so let's just look 12 years down the road, 13 years down the road. What will the world look like when they get out of high school? I'm sorry. When they get out of the 12th grade, when they graduate high school, what's the world going to look like? Because that's the world we want to prepare them for. Well, good luck. Good luck. You'll waste so much effort and energy in that, and you'll take your mind off of the kids. How about we focus on the kids? In a business, you've got to focus on the customer. You've got to provide value to the customer. You can't presuppose, well, you know, 5 years from now, I think customers might be. No, we've got to provide value today. We've got to provide value tomorrow. We've got to provide value every day, day after day. If we don't, we don't have a sustainable business. We have to approach school, I believe, in the very same way. We have to take individual responsibility for every child in our classroom, be the leader in the classroom, take personal accountability and responsibility for the outcome of this child while I have them, while they're in my class, and do everything I can to help them. I happen to believe that one of the best ways to help them is to help them be the best at what they're given to, at how they're bent. I happen to believe that it's a waste of time if little Johnny is not given to the science of biology to force that on him, to coerce, to frustrate, to pound, to nag, to whatever it is that you think is the right tactic to use. So he'll get it because, you know, he's not doing very well in that subject. I think it's an utter waste of time and resources, and it's added frustration on his life. But what if he's given to biology? What if that's where his leaning is? Man, then don't you want to fuel that? Pile that on. This kid loves this stuff. This kid's good at this stuff. This kid's hungering and thirsting for this kinds of stuff. That's the stuff we need to fuel his life with. I mean, the fact is, the kids are going to grow up and they're going to determine what the world looks like 20 years from now. I may not even be here. You may not even be here. I know this. If we've got a citizenry worldwide made up of people who are doing what they are best at, if more of them would do what they're best at, now we're not going to get all of them, but if more of them would do what they're best at, instead of trying to labor around figuring out what that might be, or instead of trying to be a square peg in a round hole, I know this, whatever the world looks like in 20 years, it'll be better. Of that, I'm sure. So that's the story at leaningtowardwisdom.com. Bula Network is my company name, Bula Network LLC. And Bula Network's going to continue. In what way, shape, or form, I don't know. And might I spin off something a tad more specific in some other areas? That's what I'm thinking about. And that's where I need, that's where I need your feedback. That's where I need your help. Here, what I do is pretty simple. I think I can pretty much boil it down. If you've listened to any of the episodes at all, I think you've figured this out already. This is a combination of a little bit of business advice, personal development, and I guess for lack of a better word, social commentary. And it's kind of, at any given episode, is kind of all three of those in a mishmash of all that together. Now, is that a good thing? Don't know. Do you care? That much I do need to know. That much I do want to know. And it doesn't have anything to do with boredom. I can do this for a long time, as you may well know. But I want it to be valuable. I want it to be valuable. And if you're not finding any value in things, then yeah, I'd love to know that. I'm going to tell you a true story. I for about a year did a podcast over at RemarkableRetail.com. If you go over there now, you're not going to see anything. I took the site down. I left it up for a few months, and I walked away from it because I'd spent an extensive amount of my time running retail companies, and frankly, just didn't want to do it anymore. But it was in the wheelhouse of what I knew, and I tried to give some pretty targeted, specific advice. And, you know, didn't get much feedback and didn't feel like I was gaining any traction. And frankly, my heart wasn't in it anyway, and so I shut it down. Well, you know, you go for periods of time, you don't hear from anybody. And I looked at the numbers, and they were okay, but it wasn't anything to write home about. And after I shut it down, started hearing from people. Oh, we can't believe you're shutting this down. You know, I've been a loyal listener, you know. I don't know. I mean, people are busy and I get all that. But it is kind of a shame that you don't hear from people until you stop. But I stopped and I'm not going to start it back up. And I responded to every email. I got quite a few emails from people and I wrote back. In fact, there were a few people that I connected with and talked with them on Skype or on the phone and just had some free conversation and gave them a few pointers on some problems and challenges that they were facing. Because I said it over there many times, you know, I hadn't seen anything new. I hadn't seen any real new problem in a long, long time. But I was very bored with it. I was just very bored with it. I'm a guy who has spent my life building businesses. And I've made no bones about it. I have spent my life. I'm the hired gun. You can just consider me kind of the gunslinger. I was the guy that got hired, came in on the, you know, afternoon train and was there to take care of business. And I've spent my life building other men's businesses. And I've helped lead companies that generated millions upon millions upon millions of dollars in profit. So I've got a career that I'm proud of. And I've worked for some good men, and I've worked for some not so good men. But I'm tired of working for men, and I'm not going to work for men anymore. And so I made that decision a couple of years ago and began to kind of morph this thing. And, you know, I'm getting a lot of feedback, but I'm kind of getting some mixed signals, and this is where I need some clarity. And this may be completely inappropriate. This may not be the way that you ought to do these things, but as you well know, I'm not much of a guy who cares if people, you know, well, I can't believe he's doing that. I can't believe he's sharing that. Well, okay, get over it. I'm not a guy who's got all the answers. I'm a guy who's got tons of experience, and there are a ton of things in the business world that I have seen when it comes to building businesses. And it's a passion. There's no question. There's no question that business building is a passion. There's no question that helping people and communicating with people is a passion. There's no question that communication is just an enormous, enormous element of who I am. And I've come to understand that better in the last couple of years than probably ever before. Podcasting's helped that, for sure. And this podcast is, I don't know, a year and a half old, give or take. So it's not like I've been doing this forever. But this is easy. This is easy for me. I rather enjoy it. I hope you do. If you don't, let me know. Let me know what you don't like. Let me know what you do like. But I'm getting a little bit of mixed signals about where people would like me to focus. And I want to provide the most value. I want to do the most good wherever I can. And so here are some of the things that people are wanting me to do. I've got a group of people, and I'm not putting any numbers on this. It's just a hodgepodge of feedback, and emails that I've had and some Skype conversations on occasion. As you well know, if you join the list, I do a random drawing every month, and I give away at least one. Many months I give away two. There was one month last year I gave away three one-hour conversations, coaching sessions, call them whatever you will. And so some of this feedback is born out of those conversations. And I love having those conversations, by the way. Life coaching. You know, and I'm like, I don't even know what that is. You know, but there were people that were like, you know, given your age and your experience, I'm 54 years old. I've been married to the same woman for 33 years. I've raised two grown children, both of whom have advanced degrees, and they are both educators. Both are married. Both have children. They're parents now themselves. And some of you know I'm an elder at church. I'm a co-elder with another gentleman who I have enormous love and respect for. And many of you know these things. And because of that perspective, I have been urged by some of you, you know, focus on, don't just focus on business, because there's some other experiences that you've got that we'd like for you to share with us. I mean, you know, there were these mommy bloggers for a long, long time. And then much to my hip, hip, hooray kind of a sentiment, there began to be some daddy bloggers. And I thought, well, it's about stinking time. And I'm really fond of this crowd. Daniel Clark down in Houston is kind of part of that crowd. Probably the biggest name in that crowd is C.C. Chapman. But I pay attention to these guys. I listen to these guys. These are guys that are significantly younger than me, but I remember what it was to be in their shoes. Now, the world was different. There's no question. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm pompous and I've got the answer to it all. I know what I did. I know how my wife and I operated our home. I know how my wife and I have operated our marriage. And there's little question, I come from a different perspective than some. You can call it faith-based. I don't wear my faith on my sleeve, and my perspective is different than what I perceive many faith-based people to have. For instance, I don't mind sharing. I don't see anything, I don't read anything in the gospel in the New Testament to indicate that God will do something preferential for me and not for you. That God will, for instance, here's the phrase that gets me, because I don't understand where people get it, because it's not a Bible concept. That God laid something on their heart and they firmly believe it. And, you know, who can argue with how people feel? And that, you know, that God gives them business and God does this for them. And I know other people, and it's as though God's not doing that for them. How do you resolve that? And I read in the scripture that tells me very plainly that God is no respecter of persons. God wants everybody to be saved. And I also read in the scripture that the rain that God sends on the earth, it falls on the just and it falls on the unjust. The rain that we need for crops, for livelihood, well, that rain falls on Bernie Madoff as much as back in the day, it fell on Hitler as much as it fell on anybody. It falls on everybody. So my perspective is very different in that regard, and perhaps because of a combination of all of those things, some people have urged me, you know, focus a bit more on just life stuff. Do you agree with that? Do you disagree with that? I'd like to know. Others would like me to get more focused in the business stuff and really concentrate, because a lot of the private conversations that I have are very how-to, but they are also very specific. And some of you are wanting me to go in that direction. Some of you, when it comes to the business stuff, you're wanting me to be less general and you're wanting to be very targeted. My only reluctance at that so far has been, while there are many problems and challenges that businesses face that are universal, the circumstances are different and trying to couch it that way is different. So I have asked this group, I think most everybody who's come at me with this suggestion, I've asked them, well, what if I were to do it in terms of kind of a fictitious story? It wouldn't be fictitious, but, you know, I don't want to name names necessarily unless somebody gives me permission. But a company that may have a specific problem, I could certainly tell that story. I could certainly review that. And if you think that would be helpful, then absolutely. I'm up for that question. You know, should that be the entire focus? Should that be the primary focus? Is that what you'd like to see? Still others have said, you know, with podcasting and all this stuff, you clearly understand social media. Now, I don't claim to be. Here's the problem with social media. What constitutes your ability to help somebody? I have more conversation about social media with people, with businesses. I dare say I have that conversation probably more often than any other. It comes up in every conversation, and there are so many small businesses that don't get it, don't understand it, and it comes up in them asking me to help them better understand it. Now, I don't claim to be a guru at it. If I were, I'd have bigger numbers. And yet at the same time, I just released an episode. What was it? Episode 90 something or other. 92, I'm not sure. Numbers don't tell the whole story. And that podcast was a result of a lot of conversation that I have with small businesses who really want to try to understand blogging, who really want to. And it's not that, okay, here's how you blog. My take on it is very different because I'm coming at it from a business perspective. I'm not coming at it from a personal branding perspective. I come at it that if you are a small business and your industry is whatever, pick something, how can you make a blog work for you? Small business, for instance, is very different than big business. If Maytag, and I'm thinking back a year or more ago when Heather Armstrong, a.k.a. Deuce, she puts on her Twitter, she had bought some new Maytag front load washer and dryer. Well, it went on the fritz. And so she sent out a tweet about it. Well, Maytag had a Twitter account. Maytag was paying attention, and Maytag got in touch with her via Twitter, and then ultimately they got together privately somehow. So here's a big company, and I could definitely show people how big companies are making social media work for them, a.k.a. a Maytag. I mean, who was behind that? Don't know, don't care. It's Maytag. It's a world brand. But small business, the people that I'm attracting, the people that I'm dealing with, and the people that I rather love, small business is very different. So, you know, if you've got Joe's Beef Jerky shop, well, social media, guess what the world wants? They want Joe. Hey, I'm Joe at Joe's Beef Jerky Shop. You know, Maytag, we don't care if it's Joe or Jill or Joan. It's Maytag. But small business, it doesn't work that way. And so increasingly, I have these conversations consistently. Like I said, I'd be hard-pressed to tell you the last conversation I had with small business and with any kind of an entrepreneur where it didn't come up. And it's not like I'm God's gift, but I get it, and I know some things, and I've been in this space for some time, so I guess I'm a little bit ahead of the curve of some people, and I certainly understand enough about marketing because that's where I've spent my life. You know, listen, you're listening to a guy who has spent his life in direct marketing, brand marketing, offline stuff, but it all just comes over into the online world, and frankly, it's different, but it's the same, if that makes any sense at all. So there's this third thing, and that is small businesses getting a better grasp of using, and I'm not going to call it social media. Let's call it new media. And new media is anything from a company blog, podcasting, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. I mean, it's just all of these things. It's this digital footprint that we're putting out there. It's this digital, let me get to know you, let you get to know me kind of a thing. Do you want to see some focus and attention there? I'd like to know. The fourth thing that consistently comes up is communication. This one comes up a lot, and I've gone on record. I've stood up in front of people all of my life. Public speaking is something I've just done all of my life. And as easy as this is for me to get behind a microphone, it's equally easy for me to get up and in front of people. And increasingly, I'm finding people are intrigued by that. They're interested in that, and they want to know. They've got interest in communication. They've got interest in inter-business communication, that is, their internal communication. And I would describe that, my description of this is culture building. So many businesses, and I'm absolutely finding this to be true over at Leaning Toward Wisdom when it comes to education, the culture, man, the culture matters. Culture makes all the difference in the world. Well, the biggest thing, in my opinion, the biggest thing that affects culture is effective communication. If leadership can have effective communication. Now, the second thing is hugely important too, and maybe even more so, and that is finish what you start. In schools, there are these initiatives. Well, businesses have initiatives too. Here's how it rolls. Owner of a small business goes off to some business conference. Maybe it's a business conference in his industry. Maybe it's some trade association. They go off and some guy gets on a stage, keynote address, maybe a breakout session, whatever. And it's a rah-rah, sis-boom-bah kind of a guy. You know, the guy who is the motivational speaker. Well, that's a subject for a different day. I don't happen to believe there is such a thing. I believe there are inspirational speakers, but I have long argued all of my life. Motivation is the energy that you bring with you to do the job, to do the work. And if you don't have the energy, I can't give it to you. I can inspire you to the work. Here's the problem. The problem is motivation is something that happens day after day after day after day. It's the energy that you bring with you every morning when you get up and go to work. And then you do it again and again and again and again. You go and you hear some quote-unquote motivational speaker, and guess what happens? Well, you're pretty jacked up. Man, that was great. That was terrific. How long does it last? Listen, I've listened to the world-class quote-unquote motivational speakers, and it doesn't last long. It never lasts very long. You know why? It's inspiration. And inspiration is a fleeting thing. You've had inspiration before. You've been inspired before. I've jokingly said, I'm just a man in search of an epiphany. Guess what? Epiphanies, they come and they go. They can hit you out of the blue, and just as quickly as they come, they can leave. That's inspiration. That's not motivation. But the boss goes off to some conference, and he hears one of these cats get up on stage, and it's a pretty compelling message. And he comes back and he announces to the troops, new initiative. Now, he doesn't call it that. School systems do. New program, kids. And you know what the kids are saying? The employees. The teachers. They're all rolling their eyes, and they're all going, well, you know, Dad's gone off, and he's listened to somebody else, and now he's come back with some newfangled thing, and you know, hey, everybody just chill out. It'll pass. Because you know what? He'll get onto something else here pretty quick. He'll start this thing, but he won't finish this thing. That's culture. And a business or a school that has this ongoing culture of, we're hot on this thing. Man, we're red hot on this thing. And now it cools off over time. Okay, now we're really hot on this thing. We're really hot on this thing. Communication is a huge element, but follow through and finishing what you start is as well. So increasingly, I'm having conversations with people that are interested in what I have to say about communication. Techniques, tactics, tips, strategies for more effective communication. No, I'm not talking about I am not your PowerPoint slide deck guru. Newsflash. I don't use them very often at all. Mistake? I don't care. You judge. Sometimes I do. Depends on, you know, what I need. Now, I've seen other people, and the Guy Kawasaki's of the world and other people can give us the encouragement of using a limited number, and I think more often than not, that's right. Here's what I know to be true. People are different. People are different. Not only are people in the audience different, but people who are up in front are different as well. Have you ever seen Tom Peters live? I love going to see Tom Peters live. And I've gone to see Tom Peters, I don't know, half a dozen times. If there is a public presentation, that is one that he's not giving to a closed company. If he's giving a presentation and I can buy a ticket and it doesn't conflict with something and I'm available, I'm there. Well, I've heard Tom, I know I've heard him half a dozen times. I don't think I have ever sat in an audience and listened to Tom Peters where he didn't use at least 200 slides. I mean, the man is a slide deck fool. But it works. It works. Now, could everybody do that? No. No. And you know what? His slide decks are not, you know, today you hear use images. And you know what? I happen to concur. I think for most, that's a more effective way to go. Most of Tom Peters' slides, not only are they not images, they're text. And the text, the fonts that he uses are all over the board. I mean, there is no universal. He can use one font on one slide and the next slide. It's a completely different font, a completely different size. The background color is completely different. And many of his slides, go over to his website and look. He's got all of his slide decks up there for free. Many of them are long. I mean, you got to sit there and read this thing. Tons and tons of slides. But increasingly, I'm finding people are inquiring about that. I am a communicator. There is little doubt. And many of you seem to think that I'm fairly proficient at it and would like me to focus some attention and some time there. So there you have it. There's kind of the four things that I would ask you to think about. Is there something else? Maybe there is. And if there is, man, I'm all over it, you know? I mean, let me know. Let me know what you're thinking. Because I'm at a crossroads and I want to give you what you want. I want to be of value. I've spent my life in business building and sales and marketing. I've sold lots of stuff. I've been responsible for companies that sold lots of stuff. I'm proud of the career. But I'm ready to do something a little more valuable now, and that is to help you. Self-serving? Yeah, it absolutely positively is self-serving because I just can't describe that. There's just some juice that you get. Everybody talks about Google juice, you know. Build your website so that you get Google juice. Meaning Google gives you some props and they kind of plaster you up on that front page and hopefully you get in the number one position. For me, the juice is knowing that I've made some difference. I don't know. Call it whatever you will. I want to know that I've made a difference, and I specifically would like to know that I made a difference for you. I'm at a good place in my life. I'm at a good place in my life in that I've got a lifetime. I've got an entire career in the rearview mirror. I've got a lifetime, well, 33 years of being married to the same woman. Some of you listening, you're not 33 years old. That's a good place to be. It's a good place to be. And I'm happy to share. I'm happy to help. I'm happy to listen. I'm happy to talk. So whatever you think I can do to be of greater service, that's what this special episode is all about. How are you going to let me know these things? You can leave a comment at the blog. I don't get lots of comments, but I'm not terribly offended by that. Because frankly, until about 6 months ago, I never commented. I there are blogs that are in my RSS, and I read them, but I just wasn't a commenter. I'm learning. I'm trying. I'm trying to at least encourage people with some comments. But you can leave a comment if you're so disposed. If you're not, that's fine. I'm going to give you two other ways that you can let me know what you're thinking. I realize these all take some time. I know that. And I know that time and attention is asking a lot. But I appreciate it, and I'm asking. So if you don't want to leave a comment, you can send me an email. The email address is results@bulanetwork.com. There's a link over there on the right-hand side. I believe it's like an email envelope. You can click on that. Results@bulanetwork.com, because results is what I'm after. The third way that you can do it, and I'd love for you to do this if you're so disposed, dial this phone number, 214-736-4406. 214-736-4406. Yeah, it's a Google Voice number, 24/7, 365. Call it any time, day or night. Leave me a voicemail message and tell me what you think. What can I do better? What do you think I'm miserable at, and that I just, you know, dude, you just need to stop doing this. Is there anything? Let me know. Hey, this isn't about me. It's about me in the sense of what can I do. It's about me in the sense of what service, what value can I provide. But the value's determined by you. So, hey, my name is Randy Cantrell. The studio is the Yellow Studio. City of origin, Dallas, Texas. The website, bulanetwork.com. Thanks for listening to me, and thanks in advance for all of your help, all your feedback. Till next time, see ya.